I'm Kevin Freeman, and you're in the Economic War Room. We're joined in the War Room today with Russ Ramslin, who's been a friend who's dedicated the last several years of his life to understanding election fraud. And this story runs so deep. I mean, you think that you're going to vote and the vote's going to be counted. It's not quite that simple. And the problem is we don't even know who's doing the voting or how the voting's being counted. And that's a problem. Now, that's one of the worries. It doesn't matter how you vote. What matters is how the votes are counted. So, Russ, welcome back to the Economic War Room.
Appreciate it. Always glad to be back, Kevin.
I've covered this story multiple times, the 2018 election, the 2019. Now here we are in 2020. Tell us what the things that you're learning now show.
Okay. Well, let me say, you know, most people don't realize, Kevin, that counties don't conduct their elections, states, federal, nobody. These are all private companies.
Now, wait a minute. What do you mean by that? Because when I go vote, it seems like it's the city running the election at City Hall. It's not?
No. These are all private companies contracted by the city. They sell the equipment. They design the software. They tally the voters. They then tally all the votes. They handle it from beginning to end. They're private companies with private agendas and private owners who conduct all of these elections. And that's critical to understanding part of what the problem is.
And that's not even known. The problem here, I don't mind private companies doing things like that, but I want it to be transparent. And the problem is, I don't know who those companies are or what they're doing.
No, and they're not being transparent with what they are doing. And in fact, we are seeing that they are misbehaving.
Well, tell us about these private companies.
All right. Well, what I'm going to start with, because we've addressed this in the first two issues fairly extensively, but as a quick reminder, if you follow how a vote really flows, it starts with a voting machine and the voter.
Right.
All of that is supposed to be transported somehow to a central counting station. Now, right. The voting company that you've hired runs that central counting station, and as we demonstrated earlier, all of the security software for that database is turned off. The intruder tracking software is turned off. There is no accountability. Furthermore, from the county, it is attached to the internet, and where it goes to the internet is completely hackable as well. So people from the outside can actually find the votes, change the votes in the computer, and reload them there. And that is a massive problem.
And yet, the elections determine how billions, literally now, trillions of dollars are spent. This is economic warfare. If you can intercept between the voting booth and the central counting, you have the ability to change the outcome of any election.
Absolutely. And that's what we're seeing. If you have a targeted election, you've got a real problem because no amount of money can win that election if people are deciding you're going to lose, regardless.
Right. It doesn't matter how the people vote because you can change the votes.
Correct.
And that's been happening and you've seen it.
Yep. We've seen it. We'll talk about it here real quick. And then I want to tell you what's new in 2019 and new in 2020. Because as a result of the work we did here with Economic War Room, the bad guys have realized they've got to change the game. And they have changed the game in 2019 and 2020.
Let's get to that update.
Okay. So it goes from the voter and the vote to the county, and then the county uploads vote to something called Clarity Elections, for the most part, if ESNS happens right. to be the private company. And they're 60% of the marketplace, by the way. And the Clarity Elections database is wide open and hackable, and they store it on Amazon Cloud, which is wide open and hackable. So it's a terrible thing. Okay. And that's just one.
And it's not that Amazon, by the way, is hackable. It's just the way they've configured it and set it up. It's just like put on top of the mat, if I remember. They've just
correct.
Said they've not chosen to install any of the security software at one or more levels.
Well, and Amazon has configured it where it has what's called S3 bucket vulnerabilities. And that is a way that hackers easily go in and can access data and change it and upload it in any way.
And they should know better.
They should know better.
Okay.
They should know better. So We mentioned ES&S. They're the ones that do Dallas, and that's what we first got looking at. But we also looked at 10X and Dominion and Hart and Demtech, and they all have the same problem. The software all comes originally from a Venezuelan company called SGO Smartmatic that's actually run by a George Soros operative. And these software companies that are conducting our elections, they all upload everything via the internet to a company called Seidel. And Seidel has several databases. One's called Clarity, one's called Democracy Suite, one's called Precinct Central. So they've got all kinds of names, but they're all going to Seidel. And Seidel is a Barcelona, Spain multinational company. They're housing all of our votes, and they're doing it in an insecure fashion.
Can we back up to the George Soros thing? Because you, all over the internet, there's debunking. Oh, no, Soros doesn't own the election systems. What you're telling me is that you've identified an individual who is a known connection to George Soros that is running that particular company?
Absolutely. He started out with the UN, and when he was ever at the UN meetings in New York, he rented an apartment from George Soros at $7,000 a month. He became the vice chairman of Soros' investment fund. He became the vice president of Soros' quantum fund. He's on the board of Open
He's
Society.
He's pretty connected. And this guy, for certain, is running this particular company.
He is the chairman of SGO Smartmatic, where all the software originally started out.
Okay, so that's a red flag there. Keep going.
And it's a known fact.
Okay.
Okay. So that's sort of the way it works. There's SGO Smartmatic, and then there's Seidel. Seidel has all these databases, and then there's all these private voting companies, and they all upload everything to Seidel.
So and nothing we've mentioned is American-owned. This is Barcelona, Spain. It started correct. In Venezuela.
And SGO Smartmatic is headquartered in London.
Okay.
Okay. And by the way, the U.S. State Department says they can't figure out who owns SGO Smartmatic because the ownership is held in foundations and offshore trusts and all over the planet.
Lacking transparency.
None. There is no transparency.
If there's any private company involved in our elections, it has to be transparent, and this is not.
Correct.
Okay.
So we have shown a video that we got in the Kentucky election when Matt Bevin lost by 5,000 votes at the same time as all the other Republicans at the top of the ticket won by 200,000 to 300,000 votes.
Right.
And we showed an instance on CNN, and we'll show it here in just a second so people at home can see it, where you actually see the votes being changed. You see Matt Bevin losing 560 votes at the exact like same instant that Beshear gets 560 votes.
And that is not because CNN has some glitch on their system that they're actually getting a direct feed.
From Clarity.
So we got to show that again. All right, so let's roll that clip again so we can.
Yes, this is late in the evening, and I want you to note a couple of things. In fact, if at home you want to write these down, Andy Beshear, the challenger, has 673,948 votes at this point. And Matt Bevin has 662,235.
So it's 11,000 votes approximately separating them, 95% in.
Right. Now, let's watch something here, and I'm going to try to catch it. I may have to rewind it.
Okay.
Keep your eyes on this screen, because you're going to see these numbers get updated. They won't have up, it'll take another second before these get updated to match these.
But right now, this number matches that, this number matches that.
Right. This is the live feed coming in from the computers.
Okay, it's running. There, it just changed.
All right, let me see if I can pull
it
back
to that.
To that point. I got it.
Wow, I just saw it.
Yep. Now.
662 there. They updated it.
They update it right there.
From 662 to, he lost
560 votes.
Exactly 560.
Now
yes.
Look at Beshear. 673 before.
Wait, that's also that's exactly the same difference.
It's exactly the same difference.
They took votes from here and put it there.
Well, it certainly suggests that, doesn't it? Since you've now seen what happens there, let's start talking about what's new and different in this 2019 and 2020.
Okay.
And the first thing that's new in 2019 is that we've seen the tabulation software that sits alongside the database at the county level. We have seen that software can query the database different ways, and in doing so, change who wins elections.
Now, wait a minute. Same data.
Same data.
It all depends on how you ask the question.
How it decides to pull the data.
Okay.
Let me give you a perfect example, again, from the Kentucky election.
Right.
And what got my attention here is that I was happened to be looking through all this data, and I first looked at the data that said, let's look at straight party votes. And I started seeing undervotes in a straight party ticket for a lot of precincts. And I thought, well, how can that be? Now, it turns out that there is a way, I learned later, to do that. But that's what got my attention. So when I pull the data by straight party ticket and then looked at the governor's race, there were 8 undecideds or undervotes. There were 5 for Bevin, and there were 7, I think, for Beshear in this one precinct. But if I pulled it differently, if I didn't ask first for straight party and then governor, if I went and asked for governor and then state party.
Straight party, yeah.
The undervotes all went to Beshear, and one of Bevin's votes went to Beshear.
No, a vote should be set. I voted for this person, it's set. Whether I voted straight party, whether I voted separately.
It's there in black and white.
It needs to be permanent, and you've got the data that shows it.
And we've got the data. We've got their own reports that show it. And it happened in many, many precincts that if you pull the data one way, you get one result, but if you pull it. And so the question is, well, which way were they reporting? Who knows?
Now,
there's no transparency.
No transparency. The fact is, I vote this way, it should always be that I voted that way.
Absolutely. So the next thing that I wanted to show you was in 2020 now. In Dallas, a couple of interesting things happened. The first one is that now Seidel actually runs the entire Dallas County website.
The private company runs the website that
Barcelona
reports.
Spain runs the private website. It programs it. It does all the software for it. It creates the ballot, which itself is a huge problem we're going to talk about in a minute. It does absolutely everything. It's a total complete outsource of controlling the Dallas election to a Barcelona, Spain company. Huge problem. And if you don't believe it, we've got a slide we'll show you where if you go to what looks like the DallasCountyVotes.org website mm-hmm. and you say, I'd like to see the preliminary or the final results.
Right.
Go look at the little bar up at top. And what you're going to see is Clarity Elections.
Yeah, you're going right outside Dallas County.
It's
redirected. Not a government website. It's now a private website.
Correct.
And it's not been properly disclosed.
Correct. Absolutely not.
You know that Lenin said, he said, I care not who votes and how. I only care about who counts the votes.
Absolutely. Well,
and
what's interesting is that when you look at that Clarity Elections redirect, scroll down to the bottom of the page and you'll see copyright Seidel.
Yep, it's so clear. Absolutely.
We've got a huge problem here. Now, what happened in this particular 2020 election? Well, 2 new things happened. First off, in 2018, if you recall, we had people in Central County who were watching all of this nefarious activity going on. We got logs, we looked at it, we saw all these problems, none of which were disclosed or had ever been looked at. But in 2020, they did something entirely new. In 2020, the first thing they did is that instead of taking all your votes direct from the precinct to Central County, they made an unannounced stop at an undisclosed location at Carrier One Data Center across the street from Dallas Central County. And there, they took the thumb drives out of the bags and did something with them and then rebagged them and then sent them to Central County. The chain of custody is completely screwed up.
Well, when you were here before, you showed us what they were doing and how they were caught uploading, downloading on the logs. But that was just a two-step process. Now you're telling me it's a three-step process?
Sure. Now what happens is that they see a database that they create before the counters at Central Counting see the database. Now the advantage to that is you can either go ahead and change what's on the thumb drives themselves if you've got a good algorithm, or you can take the database you have created, change it, upload it to the Amazon cloud, and download it back into the Dallas Central Counting database.
Is this so that they can protect the logs on the counting?
Sure, because now you can have all the watchers that you want at Central County. That's not where the game's happening.
So you caught them, we reported it, and they realized that they had to change tactics, and now you've caught them changing tactics.
Correct. That's absolutely what happened. And we know it happened. What happened there was there were some observers at Dallas Central County, and they noticed when they were getting these bags in with the thumb drives, the bag is labeled where it came from, and the thumb drive is labeled. And they suddenly realized they were seeing thumb drives from a place in Park Cities, and they were seeing bags from like out at Lake Highlands.
How sloppy is that?
Well, they just were in a hurry at the undisclosed location and got the wrong thumb drives in the wrong bags. So they said, well, where are these? How did this happen? Where are these coming from? Oh, well, and then somebody said they're coming from Carrier One Data Center, and they could literally go and see people coming across the street bringing these bags from Carrier One Data Center.
And has this been disclosed at all to people?
Not really. I mean, it's now become a little bit known, but no, absolutely not. And it's inexcusable.
Why do you need to do that?
Only if you want to cheat. If you want to cheat. So that's the new one, is this sort of espionage cutout database that's been created. The other thing that's new, though, and this is really a huge problem, is we have started using what are called ballot marking devices. And a ballot marking device masquerades as a paper ballot. There's been a lot of people say, well, we need to get back to paper ballots.
It feels like we have paper ballots. I'm filling something out and stick it in a machine.
Yeah, but let me tell you what's really happening. You go to an electronic machine and you see your ballot and you cast your votes, and then it prints it out and you can look at it. And you say, well, that's how I voted, great. And then you take it over and put it into a reader.
You do.
What you don't know is that reader has a printer in it too. And that reader is reading barcodes that should correspond to your votes, but they can change them.
Why do you need barcodes? I remember when I took tests, Scantron tests, you'd circle in, you'd fill it in with a pencil and fill it in, don't get outside it, fill it in, and then you could pull it up and see exactly I picked A, B, C, or D.
Right.
Why can't we just do that?
We could, but with barcodes you can cheat. In fact, we highlight, and there's been a lot of studies on this. I'll give you three good studies about how you cheat with barcodes. But Kevin, it is so subtle because it's, you know, in a barcode, you see all these lines. Did you know that just the thickness of the line can change the difference between being a 4 and a 7, and that puts you at a different place in the ballot that, by the way, Seidel designed? Now, what happens is you say, I want to vote for these people. You put it through the printer. The barcode can change it. And when you rerun that as an audit, what do? Well, you run it through the barcode reader.
You mean the reading device, when you said it has a printer in it, when I put it in there, the reading device can change the barcodes.
Yes, it can.
So that it looks like a different outcome than you actually voted.
Absolutely. And not only that, but it's almost impossible to trace with what's called a risk-limiting audit because there's so many ways to cheat. For instance, when it prints out the barcodes, it'll print three little barcodes on a line. Well, what happens if you had 11 races? Well, that means the last space should be blank. But the machine can fill it in with a new vote for one of the other people if it wants, and you're never going to count how many barcode spaces.
No, of course not. Nobody's going to look at their barcode.
Correct, but that's one of the ways you can do it. We outline all of them here. We have what we call the undervote thief, the opportunity maker, the stowaway, the invalidator, the fixer, the substitute, the bottom feeder, the unauditable record, the blackout, and the code injection, all of which are different ways to cheat and make it untraceable from the original document.
We're going to explain all this and put it in our economic battle plan so that people will have a document, they can look at it, and then they'll find your original sourcing and the articles that they need to look at. So we get people a deep understanding like you've built up. You put 3 years of your life into this.
Yes.
And we're going to give them a deep understanding. Now, but is this just one side or the other? Is it just Democrats and just Republicans?
No. In fact, it's a bipartisan problem. And we saw it here in Dallas again this year. You know, we had a problem in our election counting so that the numbers didn't come out Tuesday night at the end of the election. They all started getting posted actually on Wednesday. Well, a guy named Paul Segura, challenged Mark Vesey in Congressional District 33.
Okay.
Now, Vesey is a longtime, pretty hard left Democrat. And Segura challenged him in the Democrat primary. Segura is not nearly as far left as Vesey is. So he challenges him, and we actually have screenshots of the New York Times primary election results. At Wednesday, around 3 o'clock, they post them, and with 629, I think, of the 629 precincts reporting,
right,
100%, it says, both places, the challenger has about 86% of the vote.
Oh, I see that. It's huge. 106,000 votes to 21,000 approximately, yeah, 107,000.
83.6% of the vote. So, looks like Segura's done pretty good. But guess what? At 11:05 that night, when it's again posted, it's still 100% reporting. It's still the same number of precincts. But now, Segura only has 36.6% of the vote.
I don't get Segura. How does he get 106,000 votes, and then the next one he has 13,000 votes?
They all disappeared. Doesn't that make you feel good about your voting system? But here's really...
Where is the New York Times getting this information? Are they downloading it from Seidel? One of those?
We don't know where their source was. But here's what got to be interesting. Segura ends up with 36.6% of the vote,
yep,
and he had 83.
Right.
Okay, he's got to be disappointed. He really shouldn't be, because guess what? The last time Vesey was challenged, was by a guy named Carlos Quintanilla, and he got 36.6% of the votes.
Wow.
To a decimal point, the exact same votes.
What are the statistical odds of that happening for real and not being manufactured?
Well, the odds that I'm going to fly out of here by flapping my arms are roughly the same.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. So it's a bipartisan problem. We've heard from another state senator up in the Northeast, I won't get him in trouble right now, who was running in his primary, and it was a Democrat primary, and he had gotten one of the labor unions a little upset at him. And so he ended up losing. And yet, all of his polls right up there had him massively ahead, early votes looked massively ahead, and suddenly all his votes disappear. So that's being looked into as well. This is a bipartisan problem. The voting system is irrevocably broken, and the first step to being able to end all this endless hacking and changing of votes is with real paper ballots that you mark yourself, that are read by a machine that read your marks, so that ballot doesn't change. If you audit it, it is the ballot you started with.
So now we've got this big fight. First off, the big fight's over illegal voters, and that's almost a misdirection, so that we're gonna clean the rolls. If you clean the rolls, it's irrelevant. Now we got this big push during the coronavirus issue of we have to have mail-in ballots. You know, what you're telling me is they've got this every way to Sunday. If we do mail-in ballots, they have their way to ballot harvest and so forth. If we go through and just use the systems in place, There are a dozen ways that you've outlined that somebody could cheat and take over the election. They have really, really looked at this. How do we fix it?
Well, you do. You just have to go back to paper ballots. You get rid of a whole lot of this early voting stuff. And then you've got to have real transparency as to exactly what's happening through all these software systems, because they're all hackable. And the more places that you give an opportunity, the more places a hacker can go in. By going to ballot marking devices and undisclosed counting locations, we just expanded the battle space unbelievably.
Who do we go to? Could the president write an executive order on this? Is this something the governor could deal with?
It should be a federal problem, because under Clinton, we had the voter ID laws that came about, and these are federal elections in most cases. So, yes, the feds would be a good place to get started, but frankly, they don't understand the technology, and they're not following it, and they're not auditing it either.
Well, the only way we're going to deal with this is if the American people get riled up.
Yep.
And we've created a special page, you can see it on screen, for the Economic War Room, where we're going to consolidate all of this information. People have a one-stop shop, and they can see all of the videos that we've done and all the research that you've provided, and they can get mad and deal with this. We've got to raise this issue as much as possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, unfortunately, a lot of our state leaders, a lot of our federal leaders are all kind of treating it like the emperor's new clothes. And that just won't work. They're going to have to recognize this is naked and it needs to be fixed.
Well, it started in Venezuela, and if we're not careful, our elections are going to go the way of Venezuela. This is existential to our life, our liberty, our happiness. Everything about what is America could be stripped away by foreign-owned companies funded by people who don't believe in the future of America, and you vote and it doesn't mean anything. And once you get bad people controlling everything, these private companies, they've got to be put under a microscope and probably put out of the election system.
Yeah.
Voting is sacred, and we've got to protect that. So thank you so much, Russ, for being part of the Economic War Room and bringing this to us.
Delighted. Thank you, Kevin.
So we're facing an existential threat, and it's an economic threat. They're not doing this because they want to control the White House. They're not doing it because they want to control the governor's mansion. They're doing it because they want to control the economy, and they want to control your life. And the way that you fight back is sharing this information. Get everybody you know to watch these videos and to catch up. There's good documentaries. HBO did one and a few others that are on this subject. The bottom line is our elections are messed up. And if we as Americans don't stand up now, if we don't stand up before 2020 election in November, it could be the last free election we have. So go to economicwarroom.com and find our special page on elections. Download the battle plan, watch the video, share it with everyone you knew. Get mad. You should be mad. Your votes are being stolen from you. This is Kevin Freeman from the Economic War Room.